In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing in with volume 4, 11, 1900. When I do not have Jesus, everything is over for me. There is no more remedy for my great miseries. And what is more, I am oppressed by the thought that my state might no longer his will. And not being in his will, I seem to be outside of the center. And many times I think of how can I get out? So here, Luis is talking about this new life that Jesus is asking. And this is 1900. When I don't have Jesus, everything is over for me. There's no more remedy for my great miseries. See, what are her great miseries? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. And what is more, I am oppressed by the thought that my state may no longer God's will. And not being in God's will, I seem to be outside of the center. So she recognizes that the center of our life is the will of God. And this is what God is trying to teach us. The center of our life is not what we want, but what he wants. Not what we have planned, but what he has planned. And again, it's very, very clear. This is what Jesus is asking of us. So now being with these dispositions, I felt him behind my shoulder saying to me, you have grown tired, haven't you? And yes, Lord, I feel quite tired. And this is where most of us are. Most of us are. We don't have this communication as Luisa did. And it's difficult. It's a struggle. It's tiring. And the Lord knows this. And so he speaks to us through Luisa. And as we read, Jesus says, you have grown tired, haven't you? And our response is, yes, Lord, I feel quite tired. And he continued, my daughter, do not go out of my will. Don't go out of God's will. It would seem like this is just too much. This climbing of this mountain is too much because I'm going out of my will. You come to lose the knowledge of me, and not knowing me, you come to lose the knowledge of yourself. So in the will of God, we know who we are. We're really nothing. We're a speck of dust in this vast universe that's out there, less than a speck of dust. And yet God is everything. And he's calling us to himself. And this is why it's so good to know God. He's to know him, to enter into this life with God. The loss of knowledge of me, Jesus says, is not knowing me. You come to lose who you are. We are children of God. And again, this is one of the reasons for confession. When we sin, say if you're stealing, you steal, and you go to confession, and after a while you go, I'm a thief. And that's the lie of the evil one. The evil one is, no, you are a child of God. We have to get back to who we really are, not the lies of the evil one. Yes, we fall into sin, but Jesus has overcome sin. He's overcome death. And with him, we're free. Volume 4, 9-4, 1901. I said to Jesus, my sweet life, you are tired because of me, aren't you? And he says, yes, at least be grateful for the graces I am giving you. So here's the first thing. Be grateful for the graces of being Catholic. Be grateful of the graces of having the rosary and the scapular. Be grateful of the graces of having the Book of Heaven. Be grateful to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to get closer to you. And he says, good. Gratitude is the key to be able to open as one pleases the treasures that God contains. See, this is the thing that's so amazing. Be grateful. Thank you, Jesus. And again, this is why you spend time for the Blessed Sacrament, to spend at least 15 minutes in that hour that you stay, if you're staying for an hour, to thank God. To thank God for all the graces that he's given you, the grace to be baptized, the grace to receive First Communion, the grace to receive confirmation, the grace to receive confession, the graces that you receive in marriage. Thank you, Jesus. This opens, he says, the gratitude is the key to open as one pleases the treasures that God contains. However, what I did to you shall serve to preserve you from corruption, to strengthen you, to dispose your soul and body for eternal glory. This is why I remember being with Acuna in Mexico and talking about, oh, I can't wait until they open Luisa's tomb and move her to the high altar, which they've done a year ago. You see, I said to him, I can't wait. If I could reach in and grab some of her bones, you know, he says, do you think that's Luisa? And I go, well, who else could it be? I mean, if it's not Luisa, who could it be? And he starts laughing. Do you think? And here's one of the treasures. I shall preserve you from corruption. Now remember, in Garabandal, the priest that died, Our Lady said, when the day of the miracle happens, you will find his body incorrupt. And they exhumed his body and they said to Conchita, this is not true. Look, he's corrupted. He's gone. His body is corrupted. And Conchita says, it's not the day of the miracle. The things that are coming are going to astonish humanity. The things that are going to happen is to dispose our body and soul for the eternal glory. That's what's coming. A new and divine way of holiness is very close. Volume 4, 1, 6, 1902. As for you, you're not fearing death at all. Comes from having to dealt with me and having experienced how sweet and dear is the union with the highest good. So again, death, we don't have to be afraid of death. And we're going to come to that. A lot of people are really scared to die. But when we know Jesus and when we know the Blessed Mother, when we know Golgotha, that this he took on our death, it all comes from having dealt with me, Jesus says, having experienced how sweet and dear is the union with your highest good. This crucifixion is necessary. When we understand this death that Jesus went through for us, we're not afraid of death anymore. And that's why you can stand. I mean, when you read the lives of the saints who just did the will of God, not living in the will of God, they could sing with courage at their moment of death. You know, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be in the kingdom. The love that they had for Jesus at that point, there was no fear of dying. Oh, it might seem a little painful, but when you read the lives of the saints, they were most courageous. He says very, very clearly, this is something. You're not fearing death at all comes from having dealt with me. The more we understand Jesus dying for us, experiencing how sweet and dear this union that he is calling us to, this wedding feast. Know, however, that the most pleasing homage that you can offer me, Jesus says, is desiring to die in order to be united with me. How many of us have said that? I want to die this life in order to be with the true life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. I want to die to no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. This, Jesus says, is the most beautiful disposition in order for the soul to be purged and to be passed straight on with no interval through the way to heaven. See, this has to become our life, not to be afraid of death, but to say, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Jesus took it from you. Death, as the saints have said, is the door to the Trinity. We're going to see a lot of death, you know, what's coming. And our job is to give the confidence to those around us. This life is temporary. This life is fleeting. The true life is with Jesus. True life is with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And we begin to live that now before we die. Volume 4, 2, 17, 1902. My beloved, every time you look for me, you dispose yourself to dying. Think about that. Every time you go to see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, you're little by little, you're preparing yourself to meet him, to die to this life, to live the abundant life. Because in truth, what is death, if not the stable and permanent union with God? See, we think this is it. This life is it. No, it's not. This life is fleeting. The life that we're supposed to be getting ready for is paradise. We should be so exhilarated thinking every day to being with God. He says, you're disposing yourself to dying because death is if not the stable, it's the permanent union with God. Volume 4, 10, 22, 1902. My daughter, when I want something from humanity, I infuse in them the natural dispositions in such a way as to change their very nature into wanting what I, God, want. Okay, what is our disposition? The natural dispositions are things of this earth. That's, you know, food, clothing, shelter. But when I infuse in them the natural dispositions in such a way to change their very nature, our nature is being changed by Jesus to wanting what God wants, not what I want. That desire to want what God wants has to take over our life. If we want heaven, God wants us in heaven. Therefore, remain calm in your state that you are in. Be calm. This is what God has given to us. A lot of people become panicked. I don't have this. I don't have that. What's coming? I'm not sure. And be peaceful. God is with you. You were born for this time. We're not afraid. Volume 4, 1230, 1902. I felt as though a disposition for wanting to go out of this state of suffering and a human will not perfectly conformed to the divine will. That's our fallen state. I'd rather be worried about something. I'd rather be anxious about something. I'd rather be afraid of something than to be, Jesus, you're in charge. That's what she's saying. And I could see with clarity that the ugliest offense that a creature can give to God, to their creator, is to oppose his most holy divine will. That's what happened with Adam. We're in this misery because Adam said no, and we are the children of Adam. And Louisa says, I felt the pain of it, and I greatly feared I might be doing an act contrary to his divine will. This is the disposition that God is looking for, that we don't go out of his will. And that's with every thought, every word, every deed. Volume 4, 2, 1, 1903. Since the chastisement swooped down upon Corrado in those days in which I kept you suspended, Jesus says to Louisa, from the state of victim, it must now have its course. And if you continue to suffer, Louisa, I, God, will dispose the hearts of the people in Corrado in such a way that at the appropriate time, I shall make use of some occasion to have them remain completely confounded and destroyed. What's going to be confounded and destroyed? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's all going to disappear. I'm going to do, what's going to be confounded and destroyed? The misery that we give life to. When you worry, you keep the demon of worry alive in you. You've got to starve it out. No more worry. Confuse the demon of worry. Destroy the demon of worry. It's got to be gone. You have to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. What is this? There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. And this is what Jesus is saying. I will make use of some occasion to have them remain completely confused and destroyed. The evil is going to be gone. The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Then afterwards, the Queen Mother, Our Lady, came, and if she wanted to use the trade of justice with me, she reproached me bitterly for any thought or word, especially when seeing myself with very few sufferings, I would say it is no longer the will of God, and therefore I want to go out of this state. Don't plan what you think God has planned for you. That's why what Our Lady is reproaching her. Louisa, if you have suffering, fiat. If you don't have suffering, fiat. Who can say with what vigor Our Lady reproached me, telling me, if the Lord permits you that you be suspended for a few days from suffering, this can be. But the fact that you yourself dispose yourself to do it, this is intolerable before God. What is God's will? She's saying, not your will. Your human will can't have life. As you would almost become to dictate the laws and how God should keep you. You're saying to God, no, I don't want to be like this. I want such and such. Jesus has plans, and he needs us all to be with him crucified. That means no life to our misery, no life to worry, no life to fear, no life to anxiety, complaints, negativity, no life to sin. God wants us to be crucified with him. That is no longer part of our life. What is our life is peace, joy, and happiness. That's the divine will. Volume 5, 5:8, 1903. Jesus said to the confessor, "What do you want?" And the father seemed to be confused and was unable to say anything. So I said, "Lord, maybe it is that thing about the mass that he wants." And the Lord said to him, "Dispose yourself and you shall have it. Besides, you have the victim. You have Louisa." See, what are you going through? Dispose yourself to what God is asking. Don't be concerned. You have Louisa. The closer you remain to Louisa with your thoughts and with your intentions, the stronger and freer you shall be to be able to do what you want. Look at what Jesus is saying. We haven't seen any of the miracles yet. We've seen little miracles around. But when we link ourselves to Louisa, this is what Jesus says. The closer you remain to Louisa, the stronger and freer you will feel to be able to do what you want. Why? Because she did what God wants. She's teaching us how to do what God wants. And what God wants, we want. Then I said, "Lord, how is it that you are not coming?" And Jesus added, "Do you want to hear something? Hear then. At the moment, many cries and voices can be heard from all over the world saying, 'Death to the Pope, destruction of religion, churches torn down, destruction of every dominion. No one must exist above us.' And many other satanic voices that seems useless to me to repeat." And our Lord added, "My daughter, when man disposes himself to good, he receives good. If he disposes himself to evil, he receives evil." That's our time. That is our time. Volume 6, 11:24, 1903. "My words," Jesus says, "are many links of grace that come out of me and are given to the creature as gift." My words. Listen what he's saying. "My words that I've given to you, Louisa, are many links of grace that come out of me." When we read the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to us. You will experience this. "My words are many links of grace that come out of God and are given to humanity as gift. If the soul corresponds, she connects these links to the others that she has already acquired. But if she does not, she will send them back to her creator. Not only this, but I, God, speak only when I, God, see that the creature has the capacity to receive that gift." So again, he says, you could be reading, but you don't have the capacity to receive it. You're not going to hear anything. They're just words. You have to correspond to Jesus, he says. "And corresponding to me, the soul acquires not only many links of graces, but also many links of divine wisdom." Why? Jesus is speaking. "And if I see them linked with correspondence, she disposes me to give her yet more gifts." So what is this disposition that God is to correspond to God? It's this competition with God. God speaks and we receive it and we respond back to God with his "I love you." "I see them linked with correspondence and she disposes to give to me. I give her yet more gifts. But if I see that my gifts are returned to me, sent back to me, I withdraw and keep silent." We don't want that. Enter into this gift. Breathe in this divine "I love you," this ruah of God, this breath of God. Begin this correspondence with Jesus. He says, "I love you" to you. You respond with an "I love you" to him. This is the rounds. This is what Jesus is waiting for. He's waiting for us to return to him with an "I love you." And it's his "I love you." It's not even a human "I love you." He is responding. Volume 6, 3-5-1904. My daughter, suffering, crosses are like many such citations that I, God, send to souls. So this ticket, this citation, it's God taming us. The crosses, the sufferings that I send is to help you become tamed. If the soul accepts these citations, these tickets, whether they be citations that notify that the soul has to pay some debt or a notification to obtain some gain for eternal life, if the soul responds to me by resigning herself to my holy divine will, by thanking me, by adoring me, my holy dispositions, we are immediately in accord. And the soul shall avoid many inconveniences that are possible, like being cited again, another ticket, having advocates involved, going through the lawsuits, receiving the condemnation of the judge. So he says, the situation that you're in, he says, I'm waiting for you to respond with thanking me, adoring me, and my holy dispositions. That doesn't, I'm happy about this. I'm happy that you're taming me. Yes, we should be. Again, it's to see things from a divine perspective. How do we do this? How do we train ourselves to do this? By being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, by being in front of the monstrance, spending hours with our God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him. We begin to see from his perspective why we have to thank him eternally for him saving us from damnation. All of us were on the way to hell in one way or another. And Jesus redeemed us. And now he wants to sanctify us. He wants to give us his true life and Our Lady's true life, the new Adam and the new Eve through Louisa, adoring God's holy dispositions instead of receiving the condemnation of the judge. Jesus says, thanksgiving alone shall make up for all of this, because the cross shall be the citation. The cross shall be the advocate. The cross shall be the judge for the soul, with nothing else needed for the soul to take possession of the eternal kingdom. Do you wear a cross? Does the priest have the cross in his hand to bless people with? It's the greatest sign. It's the glory of God. It's the power of God. It's the strength of God. Christ crucified. The cross is the citation, the advocate, the judge. Nothing else is needed to possess the eternal kingdom. You embrace the cross, you embrace your life, everything is going to work. Volume 6, 3:16, 1904. I found Jesus near me, and I, all content, withdrew close to his ear. And I said to Jesus, Good Shepherd, if you are so great and expert, give me some remedy for my maladies as I find myself in this state of sufferings. And what are our maladies? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. As I wanted to say more, Jesus cut my words inside my mouth and said to me, true resignation, not an imaginary one, does not put things under scrutiny, but adores in silence the divine dispositions. What is our disposition? It's to adore in silence the divine dispositions. This is what we do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We enter into, this is what you have disposed for me, Lord, and I want this. I want to die to my will. I don't want any part of my life. I want to enter into your divine will. This is not imaginary, Jesus says. It's a true resignation. Volume 6, 9-13, 1904. True donation is to keep one's human will sacrificed continuously. True donation. Okay, what do you give to God? What can you give to God? What can you give to God? Is to keep one's human will sacrificed. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints. No more negativity, no more sin, to the one God to whom it has already been given. This is a martyrdom of continuous attentiveness. I sacrifice my thoughts, my words, my deeds to you. What, and he says, what would you say of a martyr who today offers himself to suffer any kind of pain, but tomorrow draws back? You would say that he did not have true disposition for martyrdom, and that one day or another, he shall end up denying his faith. Jesus says, when I return, will I find any faith on the earth? And the way he says it in Greek is, no, there will be no faith. He answered his own question. This is where we are. You have to understand the kingdom is coming and God has to give to everyone what they want. One day or another, he shall end up denying his faith if he does not have true disposition. So Jesus says, I say to the soul who does not let me do what I, God, please with her human will, but now gives it to me, now draws back. Daughter, you are not disposed to sacrifice and martyr yourself for me, because true martyrdom consists in being continuous. To you may call yourself resigned and conformed, but not a martyr. One day or another, you shall end up with withdrawing from me. See, that's not what we want. Reducing everything to a child's game. Therefore, be attentive. Leave me full freedom to do with you as I best please. This continuity is what we're supposed to possess. Continuous. One with God, fused with God. True martyrdom. And again, if you've never said it, I want to be martyred with you on the cross. God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to resign, to be conformed, to be a true martyr. See, the divine will is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. And basically, do with me as you wish, Lord. Do with me as you wish. Volume 6, 9, 26, 1904. If one wanted to ruminate on everything, oh, how many triples would be fine. So this is one, I always wanted to do a talk on the triple. Everything is tripled in the divine will, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything is. So he says, this was not by chance, but everything was so because of divine disposition. And in order to render the glory due to the Father complete, as well as reparation due to him by creatures, the good to be earned for the creatures themselves must be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, Catholic, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's so beautiful to know this triple is always essential. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And now he says this reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, is how we're learning how to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 6, 10, 29, 1904. My daughter, when the soul disposes herself to do some good, be it even saying one Hail Mary, grace concurs with doing that good. So if the soul is not persevering in doing good, that good, it shows with clarity that the soul has no esteem or consideration for the gift received, and she makes fun of grace itself. Here, he's talking about the Hail Mary. Who's praying the rosary? Who's praying the rosary? This is a gift received. Those that don't pray the rosary, one Hail Mary, grace concurs. Doing that good. God is saying, go to what the church has taught us. Volume 6, 9, 1705. Everyone can share in the merits in the goods produced by the sorrows of my mother, Jesus says. One who in advance places herself in the hands of providence offers herself to suffering any kind of pains, any kinds of miseries, any kinds of illnesses, any kind of calamities, and everything that the Lord shall dispose upon the soul, and then comes to participate in the first sorrow of the prophecy of Simeon. See this, do we pray the seven sorrows of Mary? He says, I want you to enter into the first sorrow. Why? Everyone can mirror in the goods produced by the sorrows of my mother. Do you want to enter into the first sorrow? Jesus says, One who actually finds herself amid sufferings is resigned and clings more tightly to me and does not offend me. That's the very first thing, not to offend Jesus. It is as if she were saving me from the hands of Herod, keeping me safe and sound within the Egypt of her heart, and the soul participates in this now the second sorrow, and then the third sorrow, and then the fourth sorrow. It's to enter into this life of Our Lady, the true Eve, the new Eve. Volume 7, 8, 11, 1906. My daughter, the cross is a treasure, and the safest place in which to keep this valuable treasure is in one's own soul. The cross has to be there. We have to love the cross. Like I said, do you have a cross in your home? Do you have a cross in each room? Do you have a cross outside your house? I mean, really, is the cross important to you? Do you, you know, for baptism, do you give a cross to the children, to the new parent, to the parents of the child? Do you, when for communion, do you give a cross to the child that receives communion? Do you give a cross to the child for confirmation? Do you give a cross to the couple newly married? The cross is a true treasure, and it's the safest place in which to keep this valuable treasure is in one's own soul. Or rather, it is a safe place when the soul is disposed to receive this treasure with patience and with resignation and with other virtues, because the virtues are as many keys that secure it so as not to spoil it or dispose it to thieves. Volume 7, 9-16-06. My daughter, sheer truth, naked and simple, is the most powerful magnet to draw hearts, to dispose them to face any sacrifice for the love of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what we hear today is many lies. Everything is upside down. The truth is laughed at. The truth is ridiculed. Dispose, this truth is like a powerful magnet that disposes the souls to face any sacrament for the love of truth. And if people who reveal this truth, so somebody's getting married and they're Catholic outside the church, what's the truth? I love this soul so much that I can't be there. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for your soul. I'll pray for your spouse. But we want you in heaven. And I will pray, I love you so much that I can't be there. Jesus says this, sheer truth disposes souls to face any sacrament for the love of truth and of the people who reveal this truth. So when, again, it's not hateful. It's, I would really want to be there. I love you so much. I'd really love to be there, but I can't. Because I want you one with God. I want you prepared for eternity. And this isn't, you're entering a life of suffering. Who gave to the many other saints the strength to conduct a pure and unblemished life in the midst of so many battles? The truth, a naked and simple, disinterested truth. This is why creatures want to come to you, Louisa. This is what Jesus said. They want to come to you, Louisa, because I, the truth, have allowed you to hear the truth and put it down on paper for them. Simple, naked, disinterested truth. This is why creatures want to come to you, Louisa. Volume 8, 2, 16, 1908. My daughter, it is really so. The cross alone is what makes one know whether he really loves the Lord, but a cross carried with patience and resignation, because where there is patience and resignation and crosses, there is divine life. Do you see what Jesus is saying? The cross alone makes one know whether he truly loves the Lord. Look at, I mean, each one of us has gone through worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Each one of us, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. And Jesus is saying, do you trust me? Carry your cross with patience and resignation. This is where divine life is. So he says, even in the very sacraments, he says, there also may be some who love, who contains this divine life within himself, but these things cannot give the certainty of the cross. It may be there or maybe not, but because of lack of disposition. One can very well go to confession, but if he lacks the disposition of true sorrow, it certainly cannot be that he loves and that he has received this divine life within himself. Another may receive Holy Communion. Indeed, he receives the divine life, but he can only say that this divine life remains within him if he had the true dispositions. In fact, it can be seen how some receive Holy Communion to go to confession, but as the occasion arises, the patience of divine life cannot be seen in these souls. And if the patience is missing, love is missing, because love is recognized only through sacrifice. And so there are doubts. And why the cross, patience, and resignation are fruits produced only by grace and by love. So Jesus is showing us that he's expecting more from us. True, to be in God's image and likeness. This is what Jesus is waiting for. The cross as patience and resignation, they are fruits produced only by grace and by love. Volume 8, 8, 10, 1908. My state is too hard, my dear life. And what am I here for if you do not let me suffer to spare my neighbor the chastisement? So here in volume 8, in the first books, Luisa knew that her suffering saved souls. And she wasn't suffering at this point. You don't let me suffer, Jesus. How am I going to be able to spare my neighbor the chastisements? Giving us a clue why everything's falling apart. Everything's falling apart because we're not suffering to spare our neighbor the chastisements that are here. And what does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity to the point of no more sin. That's what Jesus is waiting to see in us. Are you suffering that death? I'm not going to feed the demons anymore with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. I'm not going to do this. Jesus says, you have said many times that you would not allow rain. Luisa says, and so it's not raining, so I cannot beat you in anything. Whatever you say, God, you do. Well, if I had you near me like before, I would tell you so much that you would not let me, you would let me win. So here, she, in her sufferings, she was winning. How can you say that distance is nothing? And Jesus says this, Luisa, it is precisely because of this that I am forced to be far away from you. And so as to not let you win, but to give course to divine justice. However, by keeping you here, there is also some good, because the lack of water shall call for famine. And during this time, the people shall be humiliated. And after slaughters and wars have taken place, grace shall find them more disposed to be saved. Jesus says, I have to purify the world. What is coming to the world is the kingdom, and the world is not purified yet. There is going to be difficulties, and I do truly believe what was said 100 years ago is today. He says, there will be some good, because the lack of water shall call for famine. That doesn't sound good. During this time, the people shall be humiliated. That doesn't sound good. There will be slaughters and wars will take place. That doesn't sound good. But why all this? Grace shall find humanity more disposed to be saved. God wants us in heaven. We're going to have to go through some tough times to get back to disposed to be saved. Volume 8, 8, 23, 1908. The sign that there is guilt in the soul when the soul finds herself without me is that I return to let myself be seen. and does not remain all filled with God. The soul does not remain all filled with God, nor is she, is her being immediately disposed to immerse herself completely in me. Okay. When humanity feels itself without God, Jesus says, I will return, but it doesn't remain all filled with God, nor is the soul being immediately disposed to immerse herself completely in God in such a way that not a fiber would be left that is not fixed in its center. Where there is guilt or something that is not completely mine, whether I, God, fill her, nor can the soul immerse herself in me. So here Jesus says, guilt has to go beyond just guilt. Guilt has to turn into true sorrow. When you are praying and you're guilty before God because of sin, God is saying, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to transmute you so that you can now be filled with God again. You can be fixed in the center again as God wants. Volume 8, 122, 1908. Imagine a gentleman and two persons. One of these two persons keep his money in the hands of the gentleman while the other one does not. That gentleman may give both one and the other to both and one and the other. But the one who is more sure to obtain in a circumstance of need, the one who has the money in hand of the gentleman or the one who does not, certainly the one who has the money in hand for all the good dispositions, the courage, the confidence to go and to ask for what is deposited in the hands of that gentleman. So Jesus is showing us this is natural. If you have the confidence, the courage to say to someone who has the money, I need something, he says, it'll happen. And if he sees himself hesitant in giving, he will say to him frankly, you better give it to me and quickly, because indeed I am not asking you for what is yours, but for what is mine. See, God, that's God. God has given us, he saved us. He has redeemed us. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be bold with me. On the other hand, if the other one goes and who has nothing in the hands of the gentleman, and he goes timidly without confidence, it shall be up to the gentleman whether he wants to give him some help or not. This is the difference that passes between when I am, Jesus says, the debtor, or when I am not the debtor. If you could understand what immense goods are produced by having a credit with me. So here, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. And that's our Jesus. That's our Lord. I died for you. Nailed to the cross with me is all your worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's gone from you. I've redeemed you. Now I want to sanctify you. And this is what's so beautiful. What's coming to the earth is a new and divine way of holiness. And our God is asking us, pleading with us to get ready. Great things are in store. Amazing things are in store. And our Lord needs us to recognize this and to want it. So then there, we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.